This weekend marks an interesting Irish political anniversary. 40 years ago, a group of politicians broke away from Fianna Fáil, tore up the old rulebook and founded a new party, the Progressive Democrats. They were small, outspoken, unapologetically pro-market and for more than two decades punched far above their weight. And then they disappeared. As Irish politics fragments even further, we're asking, is there now a gap where the PDs once stood? It's News Talk Daily, and I'm Sean Defoe. The Progressive Democrats were founded on the 21st of December 1985, breaking in to a political system that barely tolerated ideological differences. Irish politics was still shaped by Civil War loyalties rather than the left or right wing economics, and Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael dominated, taking turns in office. Labour was still waiting its turn, and other smaller parties rarely survived. Yet the PDs did more than just survive. They entered four governments, shaped tax, enterprise and social policy, and became for a time the most influential small party in the history of the state. Their supporters saw them as a reforming force, standing up to corruption, modernising the economy and dragging Ireland away from insular thinking. Their critics, though, argue they distorted democracy, propped up Fianna Fáil and were ultimately consumed by the very power they sought. So 40 years on, what did the PDs actually change? And if they were born out of a hunger for a smaller state, lower taxes and economic liberalism, where is that voice now? To talk through all of this, I'm joined by Professor Gary Murphy, Professor of Politics at Dublin City University and biographer of Charlie Haughey. Gary, you're very welcome to News Talk Daily.
Hi, Sean. Happy to be here.
So look, 40 years and bring us back to the mid-80s, Des O'Malley versus Charlie Haughey. And how exactly did the PDs come together and form as a party?
December 85, I was, leaving cert year, 85, 86. Yeah, that would be right. And Ireland was grim, cold, wet, depressed, economically, if not quite bankrupt, certainly without much of a future. It seemed to be that way anyway. It was also a very much a 2.5 party state, as you said in your introduction. Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Labour, between the three of them would routinely get over 90% of the vote. Fianna Fáil would never drop below 40 until Albert Reynolds in 1992. They would always get between 33 or 4% of the vote. And Haughey, for all his sort of woes and troubles, much of course which he brought upon himself, he never, I think, got less than 44% of the vote. So this was a traditional, staid country, and the Progressive Democrats, and it's an odd time to be formed, as you said, the 21st of December, so just before Christmas, certainly shook it up, because they were unapologetically ideological in focus in a way that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael were not. Now, there were differences between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in their attitudes to the state, to taxation, to Northern Ireland. But, you know, they were sort of classic centrist, either centrist left or centre right, whereas the Progressive Democrats clearly were for reducing the role of the state. And that just wasn't in economics. It was also in social policy. So they were for taking God out of the Constitution. Des O'Malley famously said that, although they quickly railed back. But they were certainly pro-divorce in the 86 referendum. They wanted to change the 83 referendum on abortion. So, but more than that, I think certainly the economic liberalism. They were sort of Irish Thatcherites, to be perfectly frank. Now, they might reject that label, but their prescription for the Irish economy was very similar to what Margaret Thatcher was doing in Britain in the same time. Low taxation, low regulation, put money in people's pockets, free the state, free people to be brave, I think was the phrase they used in the 1987 manifesto, to pursue entrepreneurship, which itself was a rare thing in the Ireland of the 1980s.
Conventional Irish political wisdom may advise against it, as it often does against worthwhile change. To achieve progress in any field, risks must be taken. For myself, I am prepared to take them. No one man or woman can achieve much in politics alone. I am asking ordinary Irish men and women who share my approach to politics and my aspiration to renew our society in a genuinely republican mould to join with me in the Progressive Democrats and to lend their hand to that task.
Mm. And the actual founding, like as much as the policies and the ideology was there, I mean, the characters had to be there as well. And I suppose particularly Des O'Malley, you've written extensively in your book about the rows that he and Charlie Hoy had. And he'd been expelled from Fianna Fáil earlier that year for that famous phrase, conduct unbecoming.
Yeah, so certainly the Progressive Democrats are synonymous with Des O'Malley, and he is the driving the force and the principal player. And remember now, he was a dyed-in-the-wool green Fianna Fáil. He was the nephew of Donogh O'Malley, a famous minister who brought in free education in the mid-1960s. When Donogh O'Malley died, Des O'Malley won the by-election. He was very close to Jack Lynch. He was on that wing of the Fianna Fáil party, and he had a tremendous antipathy to Charles Haughey. And Fianna Fáil was divided over the sort of corrosive personality of Haughey from the arms crisis of 1970 right up to the time O'Malley was expelled. He was expelled for conduct unbecoming, and which became the title of his book, his memoir of about a decade or so ago, for opposing Fianna Fáil's own opposition to the government's family planning bill. And again, that goes to this idea of the Progressive Democrats wanting to sort of liberalise social policy. It's not true that he voted with the government. He actually abstained after making his famous speech saying he stood by the Republic.
There is a choice of a kind that can only be answered by saying that I stand by the Republic, and accordingly, I will not oppose this bill.
In many ways, this was just an excuse, I think, for Haughey to ultimately get rid of him. So he was first suspended, then expelled, and then he was followed in December 85 by Mary Harney, who became, of course, his successor when she left over Fianna Fáil's opposition to the Anglo-Irish Agreement. And I think the PDs were formed just a few days after the Anglo-Irish Agreement. You know, perhaps the greatest achievement of Garrett Fitzgerald's government was signed. And then there was a bit of a seepage from Fianna Fáil. Pierce Wise in Cork left the party, a TD from Cork City. But most famously, Bobby Molloy, who was maybe even greener than Des O'Malley in terms of his heritage in Fianna Fáil, the Galway West TD, and his resignation from Fianna Fáil and joining the PDs in early January 86 was a huge blow to Haughey, although he was always an anti-Haugheyite. So quickly it became clear that the Progressive Democrats were a serious organisation. They had some money behind them, and in early polls, within the first few months of 1986, they were polling somewhere in the region of 15%, so much higher than the Labour Party, for instance. And they certainly gave a significant jolt, because O'Malley was a huge loss to Fianna Fáil's intellectual sort of ballast, because he was clearly a very smart and talented politician, one who thought about ideas as much as just a sort of technocracy that I'm afraid covers much of Irish politics today. And his leaving was a big blow, but it was people rallied around him in that grim decade.
Mm. And I suppose their high point, at least in terms of Dáil seats, was 1987, was 14 seats, about 12% of the vote, so a little bit dipped down from those initial polls that you were talking about. And of course, the big irony of the whole row between Charlie Haughey and Des O'Malley is they ultimately ended up serving in government together again, just as part of different parties.
Yeah, so they got 11.9% of the vote in the 1987 election. Good for 14 seats. Now, ironically, before we even talk about Fianna Fáil and the Progressive Democrats coalition, they became as much a threat to Fine Gael as they did to the Fianna Fáil, because in one way they were sort of maybe braver soldiers than Fine Gael were when it came to things like cutting taxes. So Fine Gael talked about economic prudence and taxation cuts, but never were able to do it in government with Labour in the 70s and the 80s. So the Progressive Democrats did become a threat in more prosperous areas, particularly if you look at South Dublin, but if you look at Cork City, Limerick City, where they were very popular, they did become a threat to Fine Gael. But in the 89 election, so after the great sort of drama of 87 and the great promise of a new political dawn with their 14 seats, they came crashing back to earth with and only won 6 seats, which was a huge shock to O'Malley. In 89, they had They agreed a pact with Fine Gael that if the numbers added up, they would go into government together. But as it turned out, the numbers didn't add up, but they did for a Fianna Fáil Progressive Democrat coalition. Now, I'm, for listeners today, it's very hard to think of something similar. It might be akin to People Before Profit going into power with Fine Gael. There seemed to be no possibility that O'Malley and Haughey, who loaded each other, I mean, they really, really did. There's simply no getting away from this fact, ended up in government together. Haughey called that 89 election in the summer of 89 for one aim and one aim only, which was to get an overall majority. The polls seemed to show he would. He was at 50%. And then, as happens in campaigns, the voters started thinking twice. As it turned out, Fianna Fáil lost seats, the Progressive Democrats lost seats, but together they had enough for a coalition. And the deal was done between Haughey and O'Malley, sort of on their own. And my DCU colleague Owen O'Malley, who's written a book about Charlie and Gareth in the 1980s, of which his father is clearly an important player, talks about being in the kitchen the night O'Malley basically said, "Oh, you know, I'm going to do it." And it's just been a just rather traumatic moment. And it certainly did two things. It brought the Progressive Democrats into government, Sean, but also then it broke Fianna Fáil's core identity of never going into coalition, and the rest, as they say, is history. But the history of the PDs is one of oscillation over the course of the next two decades. They won seats in 92, lost them again in 97, and that was a pattern until they finally disappeared towards the end of the 2000s.
Yeah, and look, there's a hundred different ways we could go with that. You could look at Fianna Fáil and maybe that being the start of the ultimate downfall into being where they are, and albeit still in government, but that was the last time that they were not in government on their own. I suppose it's all been coalitionology since then. But if we're looking at the PDs in particular, and people are much more familiar now with small parties and them being a part of the government, and they arguably, I'm thinking of them, I'm thinking of the Greens, I'm thinking Labour to a certain extent, but you could probably argue they extracted more from successive governments than any of those other parties. Is that fair?
It is. 1989, Charles Haughey, when he agreed his deal with O'Malley, and O'Malley fought very hard for two seats at cabinet, himself and Bobby Molloy, because the idea of O'Malley being on his own would have been, that would never have worked, I think. Haughey agreed to that, and they just let O'Malley at it in the Department of Industry and Commerce. In fact, one of Haughey's strengths was that he was actually quite good at delegation, and so the sort of standard portrayal of him as a bit of a dictator is I think, wrong in that regard. And so I think O'Malley had admiration for Haughey's abilities, and they worked well in that government. Things changed substantially when Albert Reynolds took over from Haughey in early 92, and certainly Reynolds, he couldn't abide the PDs, and that government quickly collapsed amid all sort of recriminations over the over the Beef Tribunal, which reported a couple of years later and decisions made by Reynolds in office. But there was a tremendous antipathy between Reynolds and O'Malley. O'Malley had no respect, really, for Reynolds.
Well, I went to talk to each of the deputies individually, and I outlined my approach and my philosophy. And I think I convinced them that I was the person for the job on this occasion, taking all the factors into account. I think women and men are equal but different. I suppose I'm a very passionate politician. I believe strongly in certain things, and I express my point of view very forcefully.
But when O'Malley goes and Mary Harney takes over, and the PDs do very poorly in the 1997 election, just to fast forward, they go from 10 seats in 92 to 4 in 97, but they end up in government. And Bertie Ahern, who knew Harney from her days in Fianna Fáil and had great respect for her, brought her into cabinet. And people like Charlie McCreevy, I mean, there was long talk in the 80s that McCreevy would leave Fianna Fáil and join the PDs. He never did, but he thought about economics in much the same way as Harney and O'Malley did. In other words, neoliberal, I suppose, is the best way to put it, like deregulate markets, lower taxation, spend, certainly, if the money is there, and if it's not there, don't spend. And the PDs did have a big impact on Bertie Ahern's governments. He liked them because once they were in the government, they weren't going to leave. There was no sense that they would pull out when things got got dangerous or ropey, and they didn't. And they were rewarded then in the 2002 election when they went from 4 seats to 8 seats, and that was the famous Fianna Fáil slogan, a lot done, more to do. Mm-hmm. There was talk that Bertie Ahern, if he got the overall majority, would have kept the PDs with him. I don't think that's actually the case, but that government was re-elected clearly in 02, but then it all started to go wrong for the PDs. And by 2007, when Michael MacDougall was leader, they ended up with 2 seats.
Let me say this.
I have a booklet here from you, right?
Yeah.
Now you say here that we are going to raise corporation tax.
Yes.
That's a lie.
It's not.
That is a lie.
It isn't.
It is a lie.
Okay. Well
withdraw it.
Can
it's
I
a
answer
total
this?
Lie.
Can I answer this?
No.
Can
no,
I
no,
answer? Can
no,
I just
admit
say
that it's a lie and withdraw?
Sorry. Hold on.
No.
Calm down.
No. I'm not taking any nonsense from you anymore.
Sorry. The Green Party wants to end the current system of tax relief for private pensions.
No. Wrong.
Right or wrong.
Wrong. Dan
Boyle said that on the 25th.
Introduce a different type of pension system, which is fairer for people, fairer for all people, not just wealthy people who we represent.
Yeah, and we saw the careers of those, I suppose, oscillate in different directions. MacDougall, obviously, influential voice in the Shannon. You saw the likes of Kieran Cannon go into Fine Gael. Noel Grealish, of course, former leader of the PDs, now a government minister again. But one of the big things that we heard a lot here at News Talk during the general election was a lot of people saying, look, if I'm a bit right-wing conservatively, or when it comes to economic issues, who do I actually vote for? Because it does seem that every party in the Dáil now is pro-state spending, more state involvement, be that in housing or whatever, whether they're Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, or frankly anyone else.
Yeah, and I had been thinking about this for quite a while in another book I wrote about 10 years ago on Irish politics since the mid-1980s. And I looked at Renew in 2016, who you'll remember, and many of the listeners will remember, were set up by Lucinda Creighton and attracted a lot of people from Fine Gael, Terence Flanagan, one of the TDs, Billy Timmins, and a couple of others. And they were offering a type of PD approach, a small state, a reform of the public sector, a lower taxation. And what happened to them in 2016? They got no seats. No one was really attracted by the centre-right vision they were offering. While, yeah, we might say there is space under the right or on the spectrum for a right-wing, socially liberal, economically liberal party, when the voters had the opportunity to vote explicitly that way in 2016, they said no thanks. They looked at it and they weren't attracted to Renew, and they of course then disappeared off the face of the map, the electoral map, pretty quickly. And yes, I look at the space on the right and I think almost one would have to think there should be space there. But when we have elections, people look, though, don't seem to want to go there. And they seem to be either quite happy with the centrism of Fine Gael. I mean, the idea that Fine Gael then would be a sort of on the centre right, in my view, is simply not borne out by the facts. They have spent money in government since 2011. As if it was sort of going out of fashion. And even before that, go back to the 2002 election, that was the famous time when Fine Gael promised to recompense taxi drivers for the deregulation of that market, promised to recompense Aircom shareholders when the value of their shares went down. I mean, the idea that Fine Gael was prudent was like just simply not borne out by the facts, as I said. So, yeah, one would think if I'm socially liberal and economically liberal, there should be someone for me to vote for. But when that opportunity arose, and it was still there at the PDs in the 2007 election, for instance, they said, no, we seem to be relatively happy either with the centre or the left. And there clearly is, I think, evidence, Sean, that Irish politics and Irish voters over the course of the past decade and a half, in particular, since the crash, are moving to the left.
Yeah. So do you think then, given the history of Renew, if a party like the PDs was founded now, would it survive? And I suppose maybe the fact that there's just such a plurality of choice, if you look at A&2 or the Soc Dems or People Before, like if you look across the political spectrum, even through independents, maybe that's the answer, that the rise of independents negates a party like this because you just have this smorgasbord of choice.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, and certainly if you look at some of those rural independents who were elected, one would have to say that they're probably, if you place them on the spectrum, they would be on the kind of centre-right, I think, or maybe the rural right. But if you look at the two new parties that have sustained in the last decade or so the Social Democrats, clearly on the centre-left, doesn't seem to be much difference between them and Labour, and Aintu, who are... Aintu would remind me a little bit of the PDs in that fact they're very much dominated by the leader, Peter Tobin, who clearly is on the left economically, but is on the right socially, but it's conservative in a social, you look at just his opposition to the repeal of the 8th Amendment, where he was a very articulate voice, and also on the family and care referendums back in March of 2024. But I wonder in Aintu, even though they had a second TD elected in last November's 12-month election, is there any great future there? And I'm not sure there is, because the volatility is such and the choice is such, people are attracted to independence. I mean, what is it? About 20% of people voted in the last election for independence, and they're at that stage, they're thereabouts in the polls continuously. Maybe the rule of the last couple of decades since the PDs were founded is that people are more attracted to individualism in politics than parties. And I think, just to finish perhaps, Sean, I mean, the PDs had ideas, big ideas, and I think now there are very few ideas in Irish politics. We are sort of run by technocrats. This is not to give out about the civil service, but it's like, you know, everyone has a sort of an idea about how housing could be solved, but there are no big ideas the way O'Malley, to be fair to him, in 1985 certainly had.
No, definitely a feature of the landscape at the minute in politics, and maybe people afraid to put those forward that they won't get the attention for it. Interesting as well, I suppose, that there is a PD around the cabinet table. It'd be very easy to forget that. Noel Grealish now there as an independent. 40 years, political landscape totally unrecognisable, I would say, from that time when the PDs were founded. Gary Murphy, Professor Gary Murphy from DCU, thanks so much for joining us on News Talk Daily.
Thanks, Sean.
That's it from the podcast for today and for the week, that final week before Christmas. If you missed any of our episodes throughout the week, everything from our review of Liz Truss's new YouTube show, yes, it is a thing, to our deep dive into the causes and prevention of mass shootings, you can catch up on the Go Loud player or at newstalk.com. Until Monday morning, from me, Sean Defoe, enjoy your weekend.